You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're looking ahead to Tuesday's action on this edition. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:50pm. Sam Norris, Andy Gibson and Andrew Mount are the team in the studio. We've got Pontefract and Wolverhampton in the afternoon, so racing on the turf and on the all-weather. More flat racing at Brighton in the evening, accompanied by summer jumping at Uttoxeter. An action over the Irish Sea as well at Roscommon, a jumps card there. So something for everybody, plenty to get stuck into. My name is Mark Walton and I'm joined in the studio by Lord John Budden. How are you, John?
I'm in great form, thank you, Mark. Splendid to be here.
We're going to start with a look at the Monday jury, as we often do on this early part of the week, and then we're going to get stuck into the best of Tuesday's action. And before we get stuck into the Monday jury, John, tremendous weekend of racing. We're going to talk about Enable in a moment or two, but we've seen one of the real stars of the flat game, haven't we, this weekend?
Oh, we certainly have. Saturday's racing was absolutely excellent. Enable showed that she was, you know, right, in my view, right back to her very best, and she looks as though she's matured splendidly from last year to this.
First question of the Monday jury, John. It's trying to get a beat. Which horse has the greatest chance of beating Enable this season and why?
Well, this is sad because, of course, Sea of Class would have been the one horse who could have tested Enable, did so in the ARC last year, but sadly a serious bout of colic, who's had to have surgery in her racing career, says William Haggis, is over. So basically there's only one left, rather a dull choice, but it is Japan, who was immensely impressive at Royal Ascot, seems to be progressing even better. And, you know, Japan will be the only one. But I hope and believe that that's not going to be the case, and Enable will continue to win.
Enable, then, will continue to win for Lord John Budden. Japan, by the way, is an 8-1 chance for the King George VI and Queen Elizabeth Stakes. Enable now odds on for that race already, 4-6. I think we went 11-10 straight after she won on Saturday. And she's been backed ever since into 4-6.
Yes, she certainly has. And I mean, to say she should be much better over a mile and a half, or even better than she was on Saturday, and will also improve from the race, one will hope. But, you know, the situation about how fragile racehorses are is shown by what's happened to Sea of Class over the past few days. And one just has to keep fingers and toes firmly crossed for Enable.
Second question, John. Identify a beaten horse from the weekend who you fancy to win next time.
Oh, definitely Encapsulated. Now with Andrew Balding, ran extremely well in the Coral Distaff Stakes. It was beaten by Hidden Message, but didn't really get much of a run, I thought, Mark. And in the circumstances, did extremely well to run on to finish a really close second. Used to be with Noel Mead in Ireland, now with Andrew Balding, and drifted in the market amazingly from 7-4 out to 7-1.
Yeah, some and, drift that, wasn't it?
You know, astonishing, really, but ran, as I often say, drifters don't know their prices, and ran very well. I just thought Andrew Balding's got to get a win from Encapsulated.
Who is your idea of the July Cup winner? Advertised currently the favourite at 7-2, 4-1 Dream of Dreams, Kate Byron 6-1, 7-1 10 Sovereigns, Invincible Army is 8-1, 14s bar those. John, who do you like for the July Cup?
Yeah, well, I don't like 10 Sovereigns, but I don't like in this to begin with. Dream of Dreams is extremely impressive when narrowly beaten by Blue Point in the Diamond Jubilee at Royal Ascot, and obviously has got to have a major chance. But as you may know, I've been a supporter of Martin Mead for a long time now, and I shall be with Advertise, who I thought won extremely well at Royal Ascot. Some people will say after the 2,000 guineas that Advertise doesn't actually act at Newmarket. I dismiss that on the grounds that quite clearly the stable were below par at the time, and Advertise ran far below his form. But he's a group winner. He's shown his form last year. I think he'd be hard to beat. Advertise is my idea of the winner.
Advertise, then, the idea of the winner for John. And if you look at Advertise's form at six furlongs as well, John, has raced five times at six furlongs, won four of them, and the other time was a very unlucky second in the Coventry when on the wrong side of the track. So the Guineas idea just didn't work, maybe didn't stay, but at six furlongs, he's superb, isn't he?
Oh, I think so. You know, he's really got group cars at that distance, and he'll go on the ground, and he showed that he's right back to his best at Ascot, and I'm hoping he's going to endorse that at Newmarket.
Give us another to watch out for at the July Festival, if you will, John.
Yes, well, again, Kyren is the one that I have to go for. Kyren in the Bunbury Cup. Many people say Kyren is a professional loser. They almost refer to him in canine terms. but I don't do that. And if you look at Kyren's form, you will see that David Barron's performer has run extremely well in all the major handicaps. And I thought he was excellent in the Royal Hunt Cup last time out, Kyren. He finished fifth, or I think that was fifth, might have been sixth. I think he was fifth. And he was on the wrong side, basically. He ran on very well, and he had done before that as well. I think this is a big chance, the Bunbury Cup. Seven furlongs, ideal trip. Kyren ran extremely well over that trip in the Victoria Cup, for example. His class in this sort of race is certainly up to it, and he's got an opportunity to prove that he isn't what people have suggested, a professional loser.
Kinran in the markets. I'm just trying to find his price for the Bunbury Cup. It will be towards the top of the market. He's the favourite, in fact, at 8-1. Kinran for the upcoming Bunbury Cup, and was fifth last time at Ascot in the Royal Hunt Cup. And as you say, John, he's a proper proven performer in these big heritage handicaps, isn't he? So I can see the angle there with Kinran. On to the next question, John. Identify a 2-year-old to follow for the rest of the season. Nice and easy.
Yes, it's a really tricky question, but I was impressed with what Colin Keane said about Ger Lyons' Siskin after that juvenile had won just recently, referring to Siskin as the best 2-year-old he'd ever ridden. And obviously winning that race in Ireland indicated that Siskin had got everything that you require in an improving 2-year-old. Having said that, of course, it's by no means the end of the season, and there could be plenty more 2-year-olds coming out. But I thought Siskin was very interesting indeed. And on the northern scene, I've been following Carl Burke's 2-year-olds, and he's got some really good 2-year-olds in his yard. And so one of them, which not many people have thought was perhaps the best, I thought ran very well at Ascot indeed, and that was Dubai Station. And I wouldn't be at all surprised to see Dubai Station improve to win some decent 2-year-old races before the end of the year.
Yeah, I agree with those two, John. Siskin, by the way, looks like we're going to see him step up into Group 1 company next. He looks like he's going to go for the Phoenix
Stakes. Yes, going for the Phoenix Stakes, yeah. Isn't he? Yes.
I think that I agree with that. And one more just to chuck in, John. Summer Romance, the Godolphin filly. She's unbeaten so far, and her form has been franked last week, and the way she won as well the other day was just so eye-catching.
You'll have to say it was extremely impressive, Mark, absolutely right. And Summer Romance could indeed go really a long way. I thought it was a very tricky question because it's very much a personal opinion, but I would entirely agree with you with that. That particular individual is certainly worth following.
on to the final question, John. This is a tough question. This is affecting the, you know, this is how we change the way the game works, I suppose. But what is the best way to improve the welfare of racing's participants?
Yeah, I thought this was a very difficult question to answer indeed, because is it a question referring to, shall we say, the horses side of the situation, or is it referring to the human side? I think in the whole, it's referring to the human participants.
Yeah.
My sort of suggestion here is that there should be more flexibility and that the authorities should understand, shall we say, the stress factor which can be applied to, professional participants in the sport, particularly if they're doing two or three jobs more or less at the same time, also to jockeys, and so that when difficult things do occur, I would like to see the BHA show a more flexible attitude to that kind of issue.
It is a tough question, isn't it? And reading the replies in the Monday Jury, a lot of people just saying, you know, it's about starting a dialogue and just be more understanding and open to people talking more. And
yeah,
I think that's positive.
I think that is true. That's vaguely what I was suggesting, that they should be more flexible and communicate more. As far as the horses are concerned, I think, the authorities are very sharp about any kind of cruelty or unnasty and unpleasant attitude to the equine side of things. And I suppose people might say, well, the good old whip issue comes into this. But on the whole, the standard of equine welfare, I think, in UK racing is very high.
That's the Monday Jury then for another week. We'll leave that there and we'll move on to the best of Tuesday's action. Lord Budden has picked out two races for us at Pontefract. Good card at Pontefract as well. We've got a listed race and a very good handicap. We're starting that listed race, which is for the fillies and mares. It's over a mile. It is the Pipperlong Stakes at 3:15. And we've got a decent field here, John. And we've got a previous Guineas winner in the lineup as well, in the shape of Bilsden Brook, who won the 1,000 Guineas a couple of years ago. So quite a high-class field and quite high in numbers as well. We've got a good field size as well this time.
Yeah, it's a very good turnout, and so it should be, of course. Pipperlong was a marvellous filly in the Easterby camp, and often called the best sprinting filly, anyhow, that the Easterbys have had in their stable. So it's a decent race, remembering a very good filly, Pipperlong. Yes, Bilsden Brook, the winner of the 2018 1,000 Guineas, of course, and she's been very lightly raced this campaign, but she did win and show really quite a good turn of foot at Chelmsford last time out. And although right there at the top, there's no reason why Richard Hanna's filly shouldn't run extremely well. I like Agincourt as well in this contest. David O'Meara and Danny Tudhope. Incidentally, I think Danny Tudhope has got a fair chance of chasing Oisin all the way to the line as far as being champion jockey. At this stage, I think Murphy is more likely to be the winner, but it's great to see Danny Tudhope riding so well and getting so many outside rides as well. It seems in great shape. Now, Agincourt has been second in three of the last four races. He ran extremely well at York recently, and also at Newmarket. People will say that Agincourt doesn't quite have the attitude to win, to turn promising races into outstanding success. I'm not so sure about that, and the team are in very good shape. And although Bilsden Brook is the class in the race, I think Agincourt will certainly push him hard all the way to the line. I must get the sex right. This is, of course, a fillies race, and Agincourt is a she, and so is Bilsden Brook. Of the others, I thought Exhort comes into it with a chance. I was disappointed with her at Nottingham last time out. I thought she had a very decent chance, but Paul Hannigan was extremely patient on her and never really got into the race at all. Finished fourth in the end, not beaten all that far, but I thought it was a bit of a disappointing run after a promising effort at Ayr the time before, when second in really quite good class company. I don't quite know what to make about Exhort. Doesn't quite seem to have the class to win a rest of this race of this nature, and neither does Keith Dudley's horse Never Be Enough. A consistent individual, ran third at Hamilton last time out, might be there or thereabouts, but I think it's between the two at the top, and I'm going to go with Agincourt.
Agincourt, the selection for Lord Budden then in the Pipperlong Stakes. That's the 3.15 at Pontefract, and the race after that on their card is the 3.45, the King Richard III Handicap Class 3 event. Good prize money on offer here, and again, we've got a decent field here, a field of eight, so we might have an each way angle in it. John, what do you make of the race?
Yeah, it's very interesting and a highly competitive race. I mean, some would say perhaps the classes aren't that great, but it is a Class 3 event, and I remember Richard III, who was a great figure, of course, in the Midland, North Yorkshire area. And Sandra's Secret is there at the top weight. I have a feeling Tom Morley used to have Sandra's Secret, but I may be wrong on that score. Now with Les Ayr, and Sandra's Secret has actually run fairly well. Third at Hamilton last time out in quite a good race. Second at Ayr, and the winner at Hamilton before that. So you can't dismiss Sandra's Secret. We then have a horse that I quite fancy in this race, and that is Tommy Taylor. Now, the trouble with Tommy Taylor, it's a bit like me, he's very slow out of the stalls, and he does get caught there sometimes, and then finishes really fast. He perhaps could be accused of following that particular category at Doncaster last time out, but the fact is that he ran on extremely strongly and was a decent second in quite good class company at Townmore last time out. Going on down the line, we've got Oa Fly in this race. I don't quite know if that's how you pronounce Ruth Carr's horse, but
something like that, yeah.
That was a winner of this race last year. Ruth Carr has a habit of sort of following up or trying to follow up with horses who've won the race in previous years. Hasn't done much this season. Well beat at Musselburgh last time out, but has had a wind operation and as such could go quite well. And then there's a mystery at the bottom, Key to the Power. Key to Power, who is Mark Johnson's three-year-old. I thought won quite well at Lingfield last time out. And we're getting to the point where three-year-olds are taking on their elders, and with allowances and so on, they do have a chance of beating them. Von Blücher is another horse in this race with a squeak. It's very competitive. Von Blücher represents Rebecca Menzies, whose team have been in great shape. However, I can take a risk with Tommy Taylor.
Tommy Taylor, the selection for Lord Budden then, siding with Kevin Ryan's runner there in that 3.45 at Pontefract, and that goes along with Agincourt, his selection in the 3.15. Been a pleasure as always, John. Thank you very much. Good
thank
luck.
You.
And enjoy on Tuesday.
Thank you very much indeed, Mark. I hope your racing is good on Tuesday.
Hopefully so. And we got a good card in prospect there at Pontefract. We've got Wolverhampton alongside that in the afternoon as well. Brighton, Uttoxeter and Roscommon throughout the evening. It's all live on William Hill Racing Radio from 1:50 p.m. with Sam Norris, Andy Gibson and Andrew Mount in the studio. So do join them for that. Thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Racing podcast, and enjoy Tuesday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.